Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. I want to share with you at the beginning of our program this morning the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. Now it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was when Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go into the land of all the springs of water, and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and the mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock." So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah the other way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and fell to his face and said, "Is that you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." And Obadiah said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they say he's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, 'Go, tell your master Elijah's here.' And it shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place that I do not know, so that when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your master Elijah's here, and he's going to kill me.'" Then Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him this day." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and he told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all of Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent for all of the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will your father be between two opinions? If the Lord is his God, follow him. But if it's Baal, then follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it into pieces. Lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will prepare another bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he's the God." So all the people answered and said, "That's well spoken." Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you're many. Call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." So they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, "Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he's meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And it was so, when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 sheaves of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bull into pieces, and he laid it on the wood and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it again." And they did it a second time, and he said, "Do it again. Do it a third time," and they did it a third time. And so the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let a one of them escape." And so they seized him, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and he executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up, and he looked, and he said, "There is nothing." And 7 times he said, "Go again." And it came to pass the 7th time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up to Ahab and say to prepare your chariot to go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What a story. What a great God there is to allow us to look into his book of inspiration and see such marvelous events. I would suggest to you that you and I have been aware of great contests within our lifetime. Those of us who are of age remember the great contests between Patton and Montgomery and Rommel during the Second World War. Those of age can remember the great title fight between Joe Louis and Max Schmeling. Those of us of age can remember when Jimmy Connors and Bjorn Borg fought for the titles at Wimbledon, and when John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon vied for the presidency of the United States. Those of us who are students of the Bible can remember the great contest between Moses as a representative of God and Pharaoh as a representative of the lesser gods. Those of us of age can remember the 1944 Olympics when Jesse Owens stood before the Germans and won the gold medals. One of the greatest contests in the history of the world was on Mount Carmel, the contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, about which we read in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. I believe today that there are six characteristics of that confrontation that are important for us to understand and to examine. First of all, there was a choice demanded there. In verse 20 and 21, "So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people, and he said," get it now, "how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal, follow him." A choice was demanded. Elijah calls for men to stop hopping around. Get on one side or the other. There's no middle ground here. There's no abstaining from the vote. There is no split ticket here. There's no fleeing to another country to get around responsibility. It reminds us of Joshua 24 and verse 15, where the Bible says, "Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Today we have our idols, just as men have for all the history of time. Oh, it may not be some pagan golden image as it was in the days of Pharaoh or the days of the first century, but we have our idols. We have those things that we put before God. We have our idols, and we call it money or a car or a house or a boat or our hobbies, our pleasures. We have our idols. And Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters." He follows that up in the 12th chapter in verse 30 by saying that neutrality is a choice against God. There's no fence setting religiously. You and I need to stop vacillating. We need to stop and either choose truth or choose error. You and I either need to choose worldliness or godliness. In fact, I would suggest to you that if we don't choose truth and if we don't choose godliness, that we have made a choice already. The second characteristic of the confrontation that we read about in 1 Kings is that it demanded courage. Elijah said, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Would you consider that a long shot? I would. But the prophet knew what was later to be expressed by David in Psalms 118 and verse 6. There we read, "If the Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" My friend, if you have God, you have the majority. If you have God, you're not just the overwhelming favorite, you're the victor. We're to have courage, the courage of Elijah. Next from that confrontation, we see the demand of a challenge. Elijah is challenged to the prophets was to prove your contention. 1 Kings 18, verse 23 and 24. Stop cutting bait and start fishing. Prove what you're saying. Stand up and show it to be true. This should have been a simple thing for Baal, since he was the god of the sun. Since he was the god of the elements, it should have been a simple thing for him to bring down fire to ignite that sacrifice. But it wasn't a simple thing. It was an impossible thing. Surely with great confidence those people agreed to the challenge. The prophets of Baal were just chomping at the bit to accept that offer. 1 Kings 18, verse 24. So all the people answered and said, "It is well said." A popular decision. There needs to be more challenging done today. The Jehovah's Witnesses need to be challenged to present the truth, to accept the Bible, to put away their man-made revelations, to turn their back on the Watchtower Society and to open the Book of Inspiration and not only learn but to believe what it says therein. The Mormons need to be challenged today. They need to put away their Book of Mormon. They need to put away their man-made revelations. They need to open the Book of Inspiration, to read it, to understand it, and to stand by it. There needs to be courage today on the part of those in the Church of Christ that support institutions. They need to open the book. They need to consider Colossians 3 and verse 17 and go thereby to find authority for the things that they do and teach, the things that they participate in, those terrible things that rent asunder the church a few years ago. There need to be challenges today. Jude verse 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith. False teachers need to be exposed. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 13 beginning, the Bible says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. False teachers need to be exposed. False teachers need to be challenged. Why? Because Matthew 15 and verse 14 says that they need to be challenged. Why? Because the Bible is clear with regard to the character of faithful men in standing strong for the Lord. Indeed, challenging a characteristic of those that stand for Jesus Christ. Why? Because Acts 20 and verse 29 and 30 says that souls are at stake. The eternal destiny of men lie with the challenges that you and I must make to arrive at truth, to follow truth, to stand strong against the false prophets of today. Revelation 2 and verse 2 tells of the Lord's pleasure with those who test the things that they hear. To the church at Ephesus, John wrote, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, that you put to the test those that call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false. When's the last time you put to the test someone that claim to be something religiously that they're not? A fourth characteristic that we find in this great confrontation in 1 Kings is the confusion of the false prophets. The prophets of Baal failed miserably. I ask, can man please God without showing love for his fellow man? I ask you secondly, did Elijah show love? Did he please God? Maybe the definition of the word love in our culture is not the same as it is to God. Note Elijah's reaction to the failure of the prophets. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the institutional brethren, the members of the Lord's church that adhere to false doctrine concerning issues of marriage and divorce and others will find the same state of confusion when confronted with the truth. When their feet are held to the fires of inspiration. Confusion will be their result. They are false promisers. 2 Peter 2, verse 17 and 19. They are not from God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. For there is no confusion with God. Fifth, in this great confrontation, we see the character of conquest. 1 Kings 18, verse 30 through 39 show the character of conquest. When we stand for truth, we have no fear of losing. John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, is what Jesus said. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In Romans 8 and verse 38, we read, in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. How much is all? In all things we overwhelmingly conquer. Finally, in this great confrontation, we see God's condemnation. Verse 40 gives the story's conclusion. Then Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. A drastic punishment. But there's a greater punishment that waits today. As many will escape on judgment as escaped on Mount Carmel. None. Those who trust the scriptures to do their own bidding will find their own destruction. 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. The summation is found in Galatians, the first chapter, and verse 9. Galatians, the first chapter, and verse 9. If you have your Bible, just take a moment at the end of our program today and turn to that great letter written by the Apostle Paul to the people in Galatia and look at chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. My friend, you and I need to understand the necessity for prayer. We need to understand the necessity for being patient and kind, as we just read in Colossians 1 and verse 9. But we also need to understand that Paul says, as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you've received, let him be accursed. It's not easy, is it, to have the courage to stand when it's more convenient to sit? It's not easy, is it, to have the courage to speak up when it's more convenient to be silent? It's not easy, is it, to hear those that you've come to be friends with, to those perhaps even in your family, it's not easy to contend for the truth earnestly. But my friend, our eternal destiny depends thereupon. You and I need to be strong, as was Elijah on Mount Carmel. We need to have the courage to stand for God, as did Joshua and his house. My prayer for us this day is that we will fill our heart with the Word of God, that we will know better each day from our study what God would have us to do and how He would have us to do it. We need so badly to let a light shine in a world of darkness, to be strong, to be a Lion of Judah, while being a lamb, as was the Lord. Thank you for listening. I pray that these thoughts have been meaningful to you, and that you will not become offended because of the things that have been said or written, that it will motivate you to open the book and to be what God would want you to be. Put down those things of man and pick up those things of revelation by God. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.